All right, welcome to the George Waddle Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
I'm here today to talk about a disturbing question, which has an equally disturbing answer. My topic is the secrets of domestic violence. And the question I'm going to tackle is the one question everyone always asks. Why does she stay? Why would anyone stay with a man who beats her? I'm not a psychiatrist, a social worker, or an expert in domestic violence. I'm just one woman with a story to tell. I was 22. I had just graduated from Harvard College. I'd moved to New York City for my first job as a writer and editor at 17 Magazine. I had my first apartment, my first little green American Express card, and I had a very big secret. My secret was that I had this gun loaded with hollow point bullets pointed at my head by the man who I thought was my soulmate many, many times. The man who I loved more than anybody on earth held a gun to my head and threatened to kill me more times than I can even remember. I'm here to tell you the story of crazy love, a psychological trap disguised as love, one that millions of women and even a few men fall into every year. It may even be your story. I don't look like a typical domestic violence survivor. I have a BA in English from Harvard College, an MBA in marketing from Wharton Business School. I spent most of my career working for Fortune 500 companies, including Johnson & Johnson, Leo Burnett, and The Washington Post. I've been married for almost 20 years to my second husband, and we have three kids together. My dog is a black lab, and I drive a Honda Odyssey minivan. So my first message for you is that domestic violence happens to everyone. All races, all religions, all income and education levels. It's everywhere. And my second message is that everyone thinks domestic violence happens to women, that it's a women's issue. Not exactly. Over 85% of abusers are men. And domestic abuse happens only in intimate, interdependent, long-term relationships. In other words, in families. The last place we would want or expect to find violence.
You are now listening to the George Waddle Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right. Dude, welcome to the George Waddle Jr. Show. We have been having some serious problems, folks. Some serious problems. I couldn't get on yesterday. I barely got on today. It's computer problems. It happens. It's computer problems. Things like this happen, but I worked and worked, and looks like I'm not going to say everything is copacetic right now, but I'm saying we are on the air, at least I hope. we have a bunch of computer problems around here now. I'm thinking it's that bill that Trump signed where he signed away all our privacy. Anybody, anywhere can put malware, spyware, viruses on your computer and just knock you down, you know? That's not fair. Yeah, we're going to have to get some better virus protection on these computers around here. And we're going to do that in the next week or so. We're going to start that today. And also probably throughout the month and next month, we're going to get some, try to protect the computers, because, and that's not just for me. That goes for your computer, your phone, your tablet, your laptop, you know, I mean, your desktop, whatever you have. We all are vulnerable to these attacks on our computers. And I think that's what I had. That's the reason why I wasn't on the radio yesterday, because something had attacked my computers, all of them, every one of them. I got about four, and they all were attacked, you know, as if someone said, let's get George Wilder. Let's get the George Wilder Jr. show. You know, so it's serious. It's a serious thing. And if you have a computer, a phone, iPhone, or anything out there, get yourself some sort of protection, because these guys, maybe girls, are after you and me and our information. And this can come from anywhere in the world. And it may even come from the person living next to you. You don't know. You really don't know. And this is, my guest today was Robin Marvel. Sounds like a Marvel superhero or something. But anyway, I understand that she couldn't make it or whatever. The show wasn't on at the time she was supposed to show up. But hey, wow, we're going to reschedule her if I can contact her. And I'm glad to be on the show. Really, really, I am. I mean, I've been working, trying to deal with this malware, spyware. I've been shutting down the computers, taking it back to factory settings, doing all kinds of things. But, you know, all kind of things pop up. I'm saying, you know, it happens, and it's going to continue to happen to all of us. I mean, we live in a world where thieving is just normal. Stealing is just normal. Stealing your ID, breaking. I mean, you've heard of computers being captive by these scammers, and they have your computer. And they won't let it go until you pay them money. That's real. You know, that's what I think happened to me. I think some people have kidnapped, captured my computers, wouldn't let them go until I did this or did that. You know, because there are times when they have captured it in the past, I didn't do anything, they let it go. But this is serious now. These guys are out here and they're coming after your computer. I mean, coming up your iPhone, your phone, your tablet, your laptop, anything that's connected to the World Wide Web, they can get to. So I'm sorry about not being on the show yesterday. I was trying to figure out what was the hell happening. And it didn't matter what computer I tried to use to do the show, they were all malfunctioning. So I'm figuring somebody somewhere is targeting George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. show. You know, I mean, hey, wow. And it's not, like I said before, folks, it's not just me. It's corporations, it's companies, it's agencies, it's radio shows, it's television shows. These guys are guys, maybe girls, are trying to do something to shut you down or kidnap your computer, hold it hostage. All your files and everything that's on your computer, a lot of us buy online, so a lot of our information is online. So these guys are coming after you, and you have to watch it. So we're gonna, for the George Wilder Jr. show, like I just got through saying, we're going to after the show is over, we're gonna try and put some malware, some sort of protection on the computers, because. You know, this is my life. This is what I do. This is at least one of the things I do. And I want to thank those, my guests out there, those guests out there who are appreciative of this and understand what I'm going through. And like I said, I'm not the only one, but when it's happening to you individually, it almost feels like you're the only one, because you have things to do. I mean, this is a computer and technology age that we're living through. Some of us, we cannot live without our computers. We cannot. That's how we make our livings, through our computers. Computers are everything. We just sit at our computers and we do everything. We do everything on our computers all around the world. Everything. And then some person comes along and just, you know, attacks your computer just because they can attack it. And another thing you have to do, maybe I inadvertently downloaded something off the, that could have happened, downloaded something that wasn't good. You know, it held a virus or whatever. But let's say we're back on the air. I can look at my board here and see that we're back on the air. But, you know, that's for today. What about tomorrow and the next day and the next day? We have to figure those things out, too. But anyway, I try to warn my guest that the show was canceled. I already emailed my guest and told her that the show was canceled. And suddenly, the moment I told her, emailed her and said that the show was canceled, it actually started working again. That's why I'm on the air. It started working. Now, you know, I don't expect her to call because we got about 45 minutes left into the show. It took me 30 minutes to get this far. Okay, so we're going to really do some soul searching once the show is over. But anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show as it is. We're 30 minutes late. There was no show yesterday, and I want to apologize for all of that because I know a lot of people out there waiting to hear the show. But you know what? Like I always say, I've done 325 episodes. I got 325 podcasts. If something goes wrong with the show, you can always pick one of those shows that I've done in the past. And hey, there you go. There you have it. It doesn't always have to be live, but I understand where you're coming from. I want to be on the air, even though those shows are fit. They're just as good as when you listen to some of those back shows, those reruns of the George Wilder Jr. Show, it's just as dramatic. It's just as dynamic, you know. So if there's a problem with the show, a virus, or somehow I'm not on the air at that particular time, just choose among the many shows that I've recorded in the past that I processed in the past on Blog Talk Radio, and you know, download it and listen to it until things get back to normal, if ever. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762. Follow me on LinkedIn. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter. I'm all over the place. Yeah, I'm out of breath because I've been racing around these computers trying to figure out what's wrong and what can I do and who do I need to call for help. Especially, and it always seems that the problems really, really start at the last minute. The problems started at the last minute. I said, damn, I got it. I'm getting ready to go on and I can't get on because something is gripping my computers. And, you know, I said, this is crazy. But you know what? You look at the airports, sometimes their computer goes down. They are held hostage, but they'll never tell you that they gave up something to get their computer back. Because every time my computers have been locked on me, they've been locked, not by me, not by someone else out there. And you're just vulnerable to these people. They can lock up your computer. They can shut it down. They can blow it up. You know, I have a few laptops around here and I just keep tape over the camera eye because, you know, they can turn on your camera and watch what you're doing. I don't want anybody watching me on camera unless I want them to. But anyway, I want to apologize to my guest, author Robin Marvel. She was scheduled. It's fine. Throughout the rest of the month, this is the ass end of March. I'm booked all the way through April. And I got a ton of guests to try to book for May. So it's a lot of work booking a lot of people and getting them on the show. Suddenly you have all these computer problems. And I love internet radio because I'm all over the world. People can hear me in Timbuktu and call me from Timbuktu, and they have. And so that's the fun thing about it. And people, I've been doing this for almost 3 years. I started a little bit late, but And a lot of people know the show. They like the show. I've been told. And there's people who actually want to be on the show. And I'll deal with that when I get off. But like I said, I have to start. I got the people who I want to book for May. That's damn near 2 months from now, isn't it? A month from now? Almost. Anyway, we're back on the air, hopefully. And we'll just see where it goes from there. I want to thank everybody for their kind words and their thoughts, and not only on the radio show, but on my writings, my work, and stuff like that. I do have authors on the show. I try to have authors on the show because I am myself an author, and I know what they're going through. We authors, we know what each other is going through. But if you 30 minutes ago, if you knew what I was going through, you'd probably say, wow, he's really crazy. But this happens. I mean, this happens. I just can't stop talking about the minute I was in. And I'm hoping that this show processes and you guys listen to it and understand that these things do happen. And I'm pretty sure you do. I'm pretty sure you do. I'm pretty sure it probably happened to you. And it's just off. You just feel so helpless when you're on the computer now, because they have or they're trying to eliminate internet privacy. The Trump administration is letting these guys, these scammers, enter into our computers and information, because he's ending all privacies on the internet. And it's starting to show. It's starting to feel. I think the best thing that we can do, as I've reiterated, is to keep our computers protected with some sort of antivirus software. And I'm going to do my best to get that done in the next 2 or 3 weeks, if not tonight. You know, we're going to try our asses off to get some sort of a protection for your computers. And I would say the same thing for all of you out there. It's a dangerous world we live out here. We're not being robbed at gunpoint. We are being robbed with technology. You know, you used to take a gun into a bank and rob a bank. No, people use that computer to go into your accounts and just, you know, wipe you out. So it's not fun, folks. It's not fun. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for understanding. Thanks for being on the show, your accolades and all of that kind of thing. Okay, let's see if we can do this. All righty. We'll be right back.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
All right, this is on domestic violence.
I'm here today to talk about a disturbing question, which has an equally disturbing answer. My topic is the secrets of domestic violence. And the question I'm going to tackle is the one question everyone always asks. Why does she stay? Why would anyone stay with a man who beats her? I'm not a psychiatrist, a social worker, or an expert in domestic violence. I'm just one woman with a story to tell. I was 22. I had just graduated from Harvard College. I'd moved to New York City for my first job as a writer and editor at 17 Magazine. I had my first apartment, my first little green American Express card, and I had a very big secret. My secret was that I had this gun loaded with hollow point bullets pointed at my head by the man who I thought was my soulmate many, many times. The man who I loved more than anybody on earth held a gun to my head and threatened to kill me more times than I can even remember. I'm here to tell you the story of crazy love, a psychological trap disguised as love, one that millions of women and even a few men fall into every year. It may even be your story. I don't look like a typical domestic violence survivor. I have a BA in English from Harvard College, an MBA in marketing from Wharton Business School. I spent most of my career working for Fortune 500 companies, including Johnson & Johnson, Leo Burnett, and The Washington Post. I've been married for almost 20 years to my second husband, and we have three kids together. My dog is a black lab, and I drive a Honda Odyssey minivan. So my first message for you is that domestic violence happens to everyone. All races, all religions, all income and education levels. It's everywhere. And my second message is that everyone thinks domestic violence happens to women, that it's a women's issue. Not exactly. Over 85% of abusers are men. And domestic abuse happens only in intimate, interdependent, long-term relationships. In other words, in families. The last place we would want or expect to find violence, which is one reason domestic abuse is so confusing. I would have told you myself that I was the last person on earth who would stay with a man who beats me. But in fact, I was a very typical victim because of my age. I was 22. And in the United States, women ages 16 to 24 are three times as likely to be domestic violence victims as women of other ages. And over 500 women and girls this age are killed every year by abusive partners, boyfriends, and husbands in the United States. I was also a very typical victim because I knew nothing about domestic violence, its warning signs, or its patterns. I met Connor on a cold, rainy January night. He sat next to me on the New York City subway, and he started chatting me up. He told me two things. One was that he, too, had just graduated from an Ivy League school, and that he worked at a very impressive Wall Street bank. But what made the biggest impression on me that first meeting was that he was smart and funny, and he looked like a farm boy. He had these big cheeks, these big apple cheeks, and this wheat blonde hair, and he seemed so sweet. One of the smartest things Connor did from the very beginning was to create the illusion that I was the dominant partner in the relationship. He did this, especially at the beginning, by idolizing me. We started dating, and he loved everything about me, that I was smart, that I'd gone to Harvard, that I was passionate about helping teenage girls and my job. He wanted to know everything about my family and my childhood, my hopes and dreams. Connor believed in me as a writer and a woman in a way that no one else ever had. And he also created a magical atmosphere of trust between us by confessing his secret, which was that as a very young boy, starting at age 4, he had been savagely and repeatedly physically abused by his stepfather. And the abuse had gotten so bad that he had had to drop out of school in eighth grade, even though he was very smart. And he'd spent almost 20 years rebuilding his life, which is why that Ivy League degree and the Wall Street job and his bright, shiny future meant so much to him. If you had told me that this smart, funny, sensitive man who adored me would one day dictate whether or not I wore makeup, how short my skirts were, where I lived, what jobs I took, who my friends were, and where I spent Christmas, I would have laughed at you. Because there was not a hint of violence or control or anger in Connor at the beginning. I didn't know that the first stage in any domestic violence relationship is to seduce and charm the victim. I also didn't know that the second step is to isolate the victim. Now, Connor did not come home one day and announce, you know, hey, all this Romeo and Juliet stuff has been great, but I need to move into the next phase where I isolate you and I abuse you. So I need to get you out of this apartment where the neighbors can hear you scream and out of this city where you have friends and family and coworkers who can see the bruises. Instead, Connor came home one Friday evening and he told me that he had quit his job that day, his dream job. And he said that he had quit his job because of me, because I had made him feel so safe and loved that he didn't need to prove himself on Wall Street anymore. And he just wanted to get out of the city and away from his abusive, dysfunctional family and move to a tiny town in New England where he could start his life over with me by his side. Now, the last thing I wanted to do was leave New York and my dream job. But I thought you made sacrifices for your soulmate. So I agreed, and I quit my job, and Connor and I left Manhattan together. I had no idea I was falling into crazy love, that I was walking headfirst into a carefully laid physical, financial, and psychological trap. The next step in the domestic violence pattern is to introduce the threat of violence and see how she reacts. And here's where those guns come in. As soon as we moved to New England, you know that place where Connor was supposed to feel so safe? He bought three guns. He kept one in the glove compartment of our car. He kept one under the pillows on our bed. And the third one he kept in his pocket at all times. And he said that he needed those guns because of the trauma he'd experienced as a young boy. He needed them to feel protected. But those guns were really a message for me. And even though he hadn't raised a hand to me, my life was already in grave danger every minute of every day. Connor first physically attacked me 5 days before our wedding. It was 7 a.m. I still had on my nightgown. I was working on my computer trying to finish a freelance writing assignment, and I got frustrated. And Connor used my anger as an excuse to put both of his hands around my neck and to squeeze so tightly that I could not breathe or scream. And he used the chokehold to hit my head repeatedly against the wall. 5 days later, the 10 bruises on my neck had just faded, and I put on my mother's wedding dress, and I married him. Despite what had happened, I was sure we were going to live happily ever after, because I loved him, and he loved me so much. And he was very, very sorry. He had just been really stressed out by the wedding and by becoming a family with me. It was an isolated incident, and he was never going to hurt me again. It happened twice more on the honeymoon. The first time, I was driving to find a secret beach, and I got lost. And he punched me in the side of my head so hard that the other side of my head repeatedly hit the driver's side window. And then a few days later, driving home from our honeymoon, he got frustrated by traffic, and he threw a cold Big Mac in my face. Connor proceeded to beat me once or twice a week for the next 2.5 years of our marriage. I was mistaken in thinking that I was unique and alone in this situation. One in three American women experiences domestic violence or stalking at some point in her life. And the CDC reports that 15 million children are abused every year. 15 million. So actually, I was in very good company. Back to my question. Why did I stay? The answer is easy. I didn't know he was abusing me. Even though he held those loaded guns to my head, pushed me downstairs, threatened to kill our dog, pulled the key out of the car ignition as I drove down the highway, poured coffee grinds on my head as I dressed for a job interview, I never once thought of myself as a battered wife. Instead, I was a very strong woman in love with a deeply troubled man, and I was the only person on earth who could help Connor face his demons. The other question everybody asks is, why doesn't she just leave? Why didn't I walk out? I could have left any time. To me, this is the saddest and most painful question that people ask, because we victims know something you usually don't. It's incredibly dangerous to leave an abuser, because the final step in the domestic violence pattern is kill her. Over 70% of domestic violence murders happen after the victim has ended the relationship, after she's gotten out, because then the abuser has nothing left to lose. Other outcomes include long-term stalking, even after the abuser remarries, denial of financial resources, and manipulation of the family court system to terrify the victim and her children, who are regularly forced by family court judges to spend unsupervised time with the man who beat their mother. And still we ask, why doesn't she just leave? I was able to leave because of one final sadistic beating that broke through my denial. I realized that the man who I loved so much was going to kill me if I let him. So I broke the silence. I told everyone. The police, my neighbors, my friends and family, total strangers. And I'm here today because you all helped me. We tend to stereotype victims as grisly headlines, self-destructive women, damaged goods. The question, why does she stay, is code for some people for it's her fault for staying, as if victims intentionally choose to fall in love with men intent upon destroying us. But since publishing Crazy Love, I have heard hundreds of stories from men and women who also got out, who learned an invaluable life lesson from what happened, and who rebuilt lives, joyous, happy lives, as employees, wives, and mothers, lives completely free of violence. Like me, because it turns out that I'm actually a very typical domestic violence victim and a typical domestic violence survivor. I remarried a kind and gentle man. We have those three kids. I have that black lab, and I have that minivan. What I will never have again, ever, is a loaded gun held to my head by someone who says that he loves me. Now, right now, maybe you're thinking, wow, this is fascinating. Or, wow, how stupid was she? But this whole time, I've actually been talking about you. I promise you, there are several people listening to me right now who are currently being abused, or who were abused as children, or who are abusers themselves. Abuse could be affecting your daughter, your sister, your best friend right now. I was able to end my own crazy love story by breaking the silence. I'm still breaking the silence today. It's my way of helping other victims. And it's my final request of you. Talk about what you heard here. Abuse thrives only in silence. You have the power to end domestic violence simply by shining a spotlight on it. We victims need everyone. We need every one of you to understand the secrets of domestic violence. Show abuse the light of day by talking about it with your children, your coworkers, your friends and family. Recast survivors as wonderful, lovable people with full futures. Recognize the early signs of violence and conscientiously intervene, de-escalate it, show victims a safe way out. Together, we can make our beds, our dinner tables, and our families the safe and peaceful oases they should be. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, once again, thank you for that. Once again, I want to apologize to everybody out there for if you were listening, waiting for the show live and it didn't show up. I'm not going to say I was hacked. But I do know that there was some malicious software hanging on my computer. And it may be because of the internet privacy bill that Donald Trump currently signed into law. I don't know what Donald Trump, he's signing a lot of executive orders because he can't. So he's going crazy with that pen. And a lot of the bills, the executive orders that he's signing, is totally, totally dangerous for America. EPA. Now he's signing away things put in place by Obama pertaining to climate change. This is ridiculous. He's making us less safe. He's making the environment dirtier and filthier and he doesn't care. And Donald Trump doesn't care about what we think. He does. The people out there, Mr. Trump, the people out there, they don't like a lot of the things that you're doing. They feel that you're hurting America and not actually making America great again. Fuck them. Just fuck them. We're going to get this done. That's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is saying, F us. If we don't agree with what he's doing, we don't like what he's doing, if we feel that he doesn't know what he's doing, he's saying F us. That's how he treats people who are not in sync with what he's thinking. Screw him. Forget him. We're going to do this. And, you know, and that's why a lot of people have to take his ass to court. That's why a lot of people take him to court, because, you know, he's dead set on screwing up America. You don't hear him saying anything about making America great again. This guy, he had no intention of making America great. America was already great, but he's making it less greater, believe me. This guy is just, he's trying to get people not to talk about him and his minions being investigated by the Department of Justice. Donald Trump is trying to reflect and change the narrative. That's what he does. When the heat is on him for something, he'll try to get you, me, and the whole wide world to talking about something else and not talking about what we should be talking about. He's the he is the deflector in chief. And that's what he's doing now, signing all these executive orders, trying to get us, he's trying to get us not to think about that his ass may be going to jail, because Donald Trump is surely, there's no doubt about it, folks, he is hiding something. Recently, another poll came out, and it was dismal. This guy is at about, I don't know, 16% approval rating. Nobody likes him. Reason why he's that low is because a lot of the people who voted for him, they don't like him. They wish they had not have voted for him, but it's too late. But Donald Trump's approval rating is in the toilet. I mean, there's been so many journalists and so many professional people out there in the news and in the media, and I'm not talking about fake news. They're saying, and I do believe it, that he has the worst start in any president in the history of the United States. He is the most corrupt president. And you know what? He doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what you or I say about him. If we say something negative about him, he's going to give us the middle finger. That's what Donald Trump does. That's the kind of person he is. In his world, if you hit him, he's going to hit you back. You know, he's got to do it that way. But this guy is nowhere near presidential. And Mike Pence may be worse than Donald Trump. You know, all of these guys, there is something there with Russia. There is no doubt about it. There is something there with Russia, and I hope they get to the bottom of it.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
All right. Thank you for that, Brian. That was Brian Gumbel. Okay, it's 7:17. We lost about 30 minutes, folks, on the George Wilder Jr. Show today because of the mix-up, screw-up, the antivirus software that is missing. But we're going to do something about it. And it's 7:17 p.m. straight up Chicago time. I'm glad that you're with me. And if I sound out of breath, it's because I've been running around these computers trying to find out what the hell is going on. I got to go on the show. People are expecting me, and especially yesterday. So you don't want to give, if people are waiting for you to come on the air and they dedicated to your show, they like what you do, they like what you're saying, you better be there or you're going to lose them. And internet privacy is out the window with this guy. Environmental protection is out of the window with this guy. Wow. Have you heard the latest news? The scammers are letting the IRS in. Remember the time when the IRS said that they would never call you? They would never call you. But they've taken that back now. They will call you. So when the IRS calls you about something in your taxes, you know, you won't know if that's the actual IRS or if that's the scammers. So that's kind of, you know, giving the scammers a way at you, because the scammer is going to pretend to be IRS. because the IRS is now calling you on the phone. So how can you distinguish between the IRS and the scammer? They have the details there on their site if you go. But still, in all the scammers, you know, I mean, these guys, they're always going to find a way to get around technology because they want your information, and they are out there. And just like I've just got through saying, folks, they had my computers. They had them. This is the reason why I was not on the air yesterday. And this is the reason why I came on the air 30 minutes late today. You know, but I can't speak for tomorrow. We're going to be here tomorrow, Friday, tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, because I'm going to try and make up for the day that I couldn't do, which was Monday. I'm trying to make up for that day if I can. And book a guest for that particular day and time. So we will be here on Friday. That's March 24th from the date of this show. In case you're podcasting this show later, you'll know that this is a later show. But like I've said before, podcast those shows, they're great. They're wonderful. I mean, you can always listen to those shows. If, you know, something, if an earthquake happens and I can't be on the show, you can always podcast the show, right? All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest today was Robin Marvel, but I told her that the show was canceled. So that could be the reason why she didn't show, which is fine. We can reschedule. And always be kind to one another, folks. It's being kind to one another. It's easier than you think. And always help to make the world a better place, because that's what this show is all about, helping to make the world a better place. And I can't do it by myself. We can do it together. Even if you go out there and help somebody in need of help, that's helping to make the world a better place. Even if you go out there and give of your effort, your time, and your ability, and your education, your knowledge, that's greater sometimes than money. All right, many thanks to those who resisted, you know, who resisted and resisted Trump, you know, and on his Muslim ban. You know, I mean, all of that's crazy. But you can't hardly do anything when this guy is sitting down at the table signing executive orders all damn day long. Then when he scribbles something down on the paper, he picks it up and shows it to the camera. Like, look what I did, Ma. I'm screwing up America just with my pen, you know. So, yeah, folks, I feel a little bit under the weather. So if I sound a little different, I sound a little hoarse when I'm talking too fast. I am under the weather a little bit, and I am a little frustrated because of the computer thing here. And believe me, sometimes I get more frustrated than anybody out there who's waiting to listen to the show and it doesn't come on. I'm more frustrated than you are because I feel like I'm letting you down. I'm letting myself down, but it's totally, totally not my fault. You know, I mean, but sometimes you'll take it as your fault. You know, because it's your show, George. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm all over the place, folks. Twitter, iTunes. Yeah, sometimes I forget to mention iTunes. I'm on iTunes. You can always, you know, get my show on iTunes. Yeah, it's about 350 episodes. Yeah. iTunes. Okay, what else do we have to talk about? We're just about off the air. I should have, we're just about off the air. We lost 30 minutes, so. Yeah, that's true. The Trump mess gets messier. He was at 36% approval rating last week, but now he's lower, according to the Gallup poll. And that's a pretty significant poll. That's not fake news. Yeah, internet browsing, emails, TV habit, dating sites. You know, if you do any of those things, people are going to be watching you. Google, anything you do on the internet, they're going to be, people are going to be watching you and spying on you. They're going to be selling your browsing habits. They're going to sell them. wherever you go. You go to Amazon, you go to Barnes and Nobles, you go to Sears. Wherever you go, the scammers out there is going to be following you wherever you go, and they're going to be selling. Somebody's going to be getting rich off your information, off of what you do online. Someone is going to be getting rich. And that's a damn shame. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about 3 or 4 more minutes left into the show. All righty. It's great to be on the air. I'm glad to be on the air. I'm a little bit under the weather. We all get sick sometimes. And even though we get sick, we still got to go to work. We still got to do what we love. We just do it and we smile through it, right? Yeah. All righty.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, Donald Trump, he's president of the United States. But I don't know for how long. This guy, I mean, he's just one of the worst people ever. He is. And now we got this investigation going. I hope something come of it, because but Pence is probably worse. But we can fight him. I guess we can just have to fight his policies and stuff like that. But he's worse than Donald Trump, kind of. But something just popped up here. Get out. Okay. Something just popped up, but he's kind of worse than Donald Trump. I hate it when stuff pop up in front of your computer, stopping you from clicking on this or clicking on that. And
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. Help us all. Heaven help us, Lord, here I call. When we fall. Oh, heaven help the boy.
Everybody for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. The rest of the week. Got a lot of guests. Bye-bye.